microphones and make a podcast. Two microphones and you make a podcast.
Joyce.
And this is Mary Beth.
And we are back with Dave Hoffman.
Part two.
Part two of
who knows?
How are you, Dave?
So far, so good.
How did you have to like perfect your autograph after your last starring role?
No, I'm still in blessed anonymity.
Are you?
But my life has changed since the first podcast. I took your class for the first time.
Yes.
That's one life-changing thing. And I now own some Lululemon clothes. Ooh. I'm wearing one right now, as a matter of fact.
I love it. So now we are going to have to take a picture for sure.
So what do you think? Were you wearing a Lululemon hoodie?
I wouldn't wear this during yoga. I got it for my birthday. Carrie bought me shorts and the shirt.
She listened.
I wouldn't go to and from yoga in this. Yeah. And actually, it's really functional. Like it's a, yoga clothes for men are just not for yoga. I wore it to the ER with my mom last week. And so it worked well there at 2 in the morning. Put the hood up and try to get some sleep. So you can wear it anywhere.
The power of what we told him. I said there's, you know, the men's clothes they'll wear for anything and everything. And
they already knew this, though.
And they're comfortable and they're durable.
And I bought my first pair from the boutique, cashing in my modern yoga.
Why aren't there men's clothes? Not that I would buy any. And he's very happy with his purchase.
Well, that Born Primitive, I like that better than the Lululemon shorts. And I got to say, to Amy Askey, tell your husband, John, I don't have tights. Because he said, what kind of questions does Dave ask? And she said, well, what kind of, you know, there's no men's yoga clothes. And he said, nobody wants to see men in tights. Well, no, I wouldn't buy tights. I mean, there are liners under the shorts, but they're shorts.
I actually love that she said that. And I think she's going to be thrilled to be mentioned by name, Amy.
Well, I don't want John to revoke my man card by saying I'm wearing yoga shorts.
I don't think John's in charge of your man card.
We're taking a brief time out for a photo. Cheese. Salami.
Joyce can't say salami. She has to say cheese. Or even not cheese, right?
Well, keep talking.
James would like us to keep talking. Well, he doesn't want any dead air.
Action photos. So.
Yeah. Action.
So, yeah, Born Primitive stuff. I cashed in my points, and I really like those. The liner's good. The short's good. The little poles for pockets and keys. So a little commercial.
His
loopholes.
Pockets.
Yeah. And for those of you listeners who don't know, we do have a rewards program at Modern Yoga, and you earn rewards for coming to class and for referring people and all that good stuff. And Dave has a lot of points. He practices a lot. And he was you were the first person to cash his points. Your points.
$50. Wow. Cha-ching.
$50 gift card.
I like how on the announcements that we read after class, you put at some point, I don't even know if it's on this month, but you're already earning points whether you know it or not. So please check it out.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's earning points. Anyway, why did our engineer leave the door open? What kind of operation is this?
He's coming back.
He's got a
selfie stick that he's using.
I'm going to use
wrong
my
way.
He's got, hood,
yeah, so
my
make sure you get Dave's yoga wear.
You're not wearing your yoga shorts, are you?
No, not today.
See, he was showing them off. He was pulling the, he was showing the liner because
showing
much.
Your liner? I mean, I have a bruise that I got over the weekend. I'd be happy to show everybody.
Okay, it's a hidden key pocket.
Gone.
That's what it was.
A hidden key pocket.
Yeah. But more importantly, you mentioned that your mom, you took your mom to the emergency room. Everything okay?
Yeah, she's fine.
Good.
We've all been there, done that, so I know how that throws a hectic wrench into the days of your life.
Yeah, or the nights.
In our age group.
Yeah, so when we first met, you had a list of 44 questions, and that list has grown since.
Yeah, like I said, my beady little brain always thinks of things at random times. I didn't wake up overnight to come up with additional ones. I think during practice, yoga sessions. Is it session, routine? I forgot. It's not a routine, right?
It's practice,
that's cheerleading.
Just a practice.
But I like that you remembered that.
Yes. So I'm up to 54 now.
And they're getting better.
Two revisions.
Questions are full of insight. I've enjoyed them.
So the first one we're going to ask today is green because that's a new one from the second revision.
See, right. It is color-coded. To beat the band, it is all, it's it's special.
Yes. So, and there's a lot of them. So, should we just get, you were going to say something? You were poised. Your lips were pursed.
Were they?
She was trying to kiss you.
Oh, okay. you guys are funny.
I was working on my gain.
yes, right. All right, let's get down to business here. So, is being orthogonal okay?
He's showing off the word orthogonal. Engineer. My husband and his friend Deb, who went to high school together at North Ridgeville High School, go Rangers, talk about, and I don't know if other schools did this too, but their teacher taught them to clap out syllables. So they, at this point, would both go orthogonal.
I thought it was orthogonal.
Orthogonal. It is orthog.
Do you know what that word means?
Well, it means sort of all around us. Like in his squares there.
Do you know what he's talking about?
Right? I do, because I think I'm the only one that enjoys it as a teacher.
Well, there's another word in there that, you know, perpendicular.
Right, which is not the same as purpledicular. But a lot of teachers don't dig that at all, and I actually love it, so I tell people, do what you want.
Yeah. What it is. So when people come in and they set their mats perpendicular to other people's mats, you know, last winter when I was practicing, that happened two or three times. It hasn't happened for a long time, and then just last week, someone came in late, and they did it by the door, and you asked them. So, you know, it doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of weird, you know, mm-hmm. looking at the side of somebody and all. But
right, out of the corner of your eye now, you might actually have eye contact with somebody where you didn't before. If the teacher is fond of saying things like, you know, everybody's left side is facing the back wall, that's now no longer true. So a lot of people, it really freaks them out. A lot of people like things to be lined up and orderly. And even though that is in line and orderly,
parallel.
As you said, it's
parallel.
Parallelogram.
I get concerned for new people who go that way because they usually say they want to go that way because they need to see the teacher. But one, the teacher's not demonstrating everything, but everyone else in the room is. And two, no matter what, you're looking at people who are going in a different direction. So it doesn't, I think the best place for a brand new student in a bigger class is in the middle. So because half the time you're looking forward and half the time you're looking back. And you just need to be surrounded by people. And if it's not like a really big class, going in the back, I think, is probably your best bet because you probably will have somebody in the front somewhere that you can look at. And the teacher's obviously, you know, at least kind of working from the front center. But other than that, I don't mind it, but I just, it concerns me because they're seeing things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, you know, if they're still learning, then that can get really confusing.
It's so funny. As you were speaking, I was thinking of all the figurative ways your words meant more than just a yoga practice, but life. Like you were talking about, it's kind of best in the middle when you can see ahead of you, but you can also see behind you. I'm like, oh, just like life.
That's safest what, that was really in what the I middle. Was, yeah. I was, coming from a very deep place.
It's like that time I was cueing crow to somebody and I kept saying, look forward, not down. And she sent me this heartfelt email about her life and a broken engagement and how my saying look forward and not down really helped her. And I was like, oh, good. But really, I was just meaning look forward, not down, or your teeth are going to get knocked out.
I'm going to say, I wouldn't be caught dead in the middle. I'd be too exposed and I'll discombobulate. That's why I get there so early. I like the back corner.
I have an unnatural affinity for a little bit of chaos, and I don't love things to be. I love a lack of symmetry. So that doesn't mean it's good. It just means it suits my crazy head. So
you don't, it doesn't bother you at all?
Mm-mm.
And you're not concerned for the people on the side?
No, because I tell them, turn the other way then. Like,
you're fired.
Yeah. If it feels wackadoodle to you, then feel free to move your mat now and turn the other way. But
and the other thing is the studio can fit, in Strongsville, the studio can fit three rows of mats. And a lot of times when people set up, they'll go either in the front or the back and they'll put some space.
Big empty hallway in the middle.
Well, but the hallway sometimes isn't so big because, you know, like you don't have to get up to the wall. But,
right. So they're not making a space for the third row.
Yeah.
In fact, that came up yesterday. Was yesterday Wednesday? Yeah. In my noon class, Dan was like, I think maybe we should turn the other way and we can fit more people. And there was only 18 in there. And I said, oh, Dan, I said, we've had 50 in here. I said, we can have a whole nother row in the
52.
Middle.
Yeah.
Wow.
I said, this is mild. This is because everybody does have the room to spread out.
Right.
I said, if we wanted to, we certainly could fit a whole extra row with just as many.
When it gets over 20, I start getting claustrophobic.
Yeah,
so.
It can be, especially in a hot class, you do feel like you're literally getting hit with other people's sweat.
I love crowded classes. I always tell myself to, in a big class, to just make everybody turn their mats towards the back and have lots of shorter rows instead of three long rows just for a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done it. And the reason is because we could probably fit five or six across, and you have a lot less people with wall space, and then the people with wall space have the wall on their left or right.
On their side, not yet. Yeah.
But, you know, is that super important? No. I should just do it because I think it would be fun. Or make everybody turn around so that we face the other side of the room. Then you'd be in the front.
Because really, despite all the things that we favor and like, you can do a yoga practice anywhere. Mm-hmm. So you don't, quote unquote, need a prop. You don't need a wall. You don't even need a mat.
Right.
I mean, we think we do and we have our likes, but let's say there's something that you always use a wall for. Well, guess what? You don't need to do that pose.
You do need highly functional yoga shorts, though.
Mm-hmm. With loopholes. I'm all about the loophole.
Pockets. All right, I'm going to move on. So now, look, we're back to the black tux. So this was the original set of questions. And if you remember, we left off with requests at the beginning. And you said, you know, I asked, has anybody ever asked for Freebird? And you have. And one of these days, I'm going to do it. But we're back to the music. In the flow of questions here. So how do you choose music for class? Do you just download a playlist on Spotify, or do you come up with your own playlists?
You want to go first, or you want me to?
Doesn't matter. I'm prepared to go first or to wait.
Go ahead.
Okay. I definitely choose my music, song by song, every class. I have some instrumental and some actual music with words. And my rule, if I have one, for choosing music is that it has to, if there are words, be positive message. And even a positive, lovely message, I try and make sure it's something that you could say to yourself in the mirror or you could say to your yoga practice. So not like super love songs that are romantic or anything like that. The only time I do actual just fun music, like for the Halloween class I did for around Christmas time, James's hip hop kind of thing. I do think all that stuff is super fun. But in general,
do you have a library of songs you pull from?
I pull from iTunes and I see things. I am an over TV watcher, if you haven't heard. And sometimes, you know, like a movie or Grey's Anatomy or something will have just the best background music to a scene or a song. So I look those up a lot. When we first opened the studio, there was not as many students, and we knew a lot of them just as well as we do now. And there was one woman who came, Joyce will remember her, and she was in an abusive relationship with an alcoholic. She's a middle-aged woman, but it got so bad that this man actually accosted her mother. And she would spill all of this to us at yoga. And she often would cry because she was in love with the guy, but she was like, this has to end. And that was a good reminder that sometimes, like, reminding people of romantic love and things like that isn't necessarily what they need to come to yoga and experience. So I'm careful that it's just sort of about, you know, good vibes. I guess that's all I have to say about that.
I have a lot more to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't there? Well, go ahead. I'll follow up.
So we were trained to not use music because meditation and music don't necessarily go together. So if you're practicing overcoming anxiety through your breath, and say you're at work and you're having, you know, a tense situation and you remember to breathe, your favorite Trevor Hall song isn't necessarily going to
That's the dude I was going to ask you about. How did he become a yoga?
It's my fault. No, I'm kidding.
She may have single-handedly launched him into stardom. I'm Trevor Hall neutral.
Okay.
So it's really, I agree with that, and I I really love classes that don't use any music. However,
I mean, what, total silence or just not even instrumental?
Yeah. Okay. However, the first time I had a class with no music, I had probably been practicing 7 or 8 years, and it was a guest teacher, and I actually ended up taking teacher training from him, and that's how that all worked out is kind of an interesting story. But I thought the class was going so well, he forgot to put his music on. And then it wasn't until at my drive home where I was like, oh my gosh, he never put music on. And it was a really awesome experience. But I don't know that I would have loved it if I were new to yoga or if I had taken that class within the first few years of my practice. So I should say, and James is too, very particular about what we play. I try not to play more than a couple of songs, if any, with words. And I actually play a lot of stuff that has binaural beats. There's two, generally, there's more than two, but there's two types of meditative music. One is called isochronic tones and one is called binaural beats. And there's frequencies within the music that match up to your brainwaves and get you into a meditative state, or at least take you toward a meditative state pretty quickly.
So you're brainwashing us?
Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. But isochronic tones, or I'm sorry, binaural beats. Why am I confusing myself? There's two tones in those. So those are better to do with headphones, so they don't work as well in a room. Isochronic tones will work with the four speakers that we have pretty well. And the best place to get the full effect of that is to be right in the middle. But I do play a lot of things with isochronic tones or with waves at a certain hertz. Like I think the miracle tone is at 472 hertz, and it's just supposed to be a very healing meditative tone. And if there isn't a tone in a song, I can layer a tone onto a song, so you might not even know it. I'm forcing you to meditate and feel good.
That's a hell of a lot deeper response than I thought. Mm-hmm. Holy cow.
But
that's
at the
great.
Same time, I don't put a lot of effort into my playlist in a way of like, it's not what my class is about. And I don't like, I can, you know, I don't, I've never labored over a playlist. I kind of have playlists and I'll move things around in it depending on how it feels during a time of class, but I don't have like a, you know, I've never had a playlist where I knew like what time it was because of what song we were on or anything like that. I make sure to leave lots of space for silence and I just like, I want to get out of the way of the student. So I don't want the music to get in the way either. However, I do understand that there are songs, beautiful songs that have really powerful messages. And like Mary Beth said, you know, we actually advise the teachers to not use love songs because, I don't know, like one time when we were newer, I think we were within our first year and I was in the office working and a teacher who no longer teaches for us started her class with Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor. And it was really, really loud. And after class, I'm like, what was that all about?
That certainly takes your mind somewhere else.
Right. And we're kind of laughing, but I mean, somebody might have gotten broken up to with that, you know.
Yeah. I actually just asked Jeff on our drive home from North Carolina if we needed to look up and see what happened to Sinead O'Connor because I had listened on Audible to her memoir like last year. And in the meantime, her son committed suicide and she was sort of put on hold somewhere. So I was wondering how she's doing.
I thought she passed away, didn't she?
She did?
Yeah. Or maybe it was the Cranberry singer. It was somebody else.
Oh, you're thinking of Dolores O'Riordan.
Yeah, did she?
Okay, yeah.
She passed away a while back. Dolores O'Riordan did. Yeah.
I recently saw a headline saying Sinead O'Connor is finally getting her due, but I didn't read the story. I also, if I'm not pretty positive that everyone will like a song, and I'm talking about song more with about songs with words, that I'll get rid of it. You know, like there's so much music out there that if I think that something may offend someone, or it just, you know, like if a genre of music, like I don't like country, but that doesn't.
Hey, that's coming up next. Wait.
Yeah. So, and so you'll not, you won't hear a lot of country or any on my playlist, which, you know, but it's kind of like that. Like if I just keep it very safe, I guess, because I don't want the class to be defined by the playlist. I'm trying to stay in the zone here.
Oh, in the yellow zone. For Joyce and I are sharing a mic today, which if you know us is interesting because Joyce is quiet of voice and projection, and I am unquiet.
Well, I like the music you guys play. I've always enjoyed it. And, you know, a year and a half working from home before I retired, I listened to a lot of, you know, in the background, you know, I do a lot of computer work. So I, you know, while I'm reading and doing whatever, I would play, you know, some instrumental playlists from Spotify. And some of the songs I've heard on some of those playlists I hear in yoga class. Like, I know this one because it was, but I took some notes, binaural beats and isochronic tones. I'm going to Google
isochronic.
That.
Isochronic.
I can send you some info too.
But what's the Trevor Hall story? What's he about? No. Yeah, you play him, right? Near the end?
She plays him. She follows him. She loves him. She dreams of him.
About that. I don't have a crush on him. But I do like his music a lot. He just, you know, a teacher played him, or he was like the Lime Tree, probably 15 years ago, was pretty popular. That's the song I think that kind of broke him out of whatever. And
took a while for you to find me, but
yes,
I was hiding in the lime tree.
You're hiding in the lime tree. A teacher at the end of class was like, if you like that song, Trevor Hall is opening up for Ziggy Marley like at the House of Blues next week. And James and I had just started dating, and I was like, you know, a Ziggy Marley show would be fun to see. Let's go see this guy. And what's funny is James was telling me, unrelated to this conversation, about some guy on one of the TV shows, like America's Got Talent or something, that he thought was great. His name's Cass Haley. And sure enough, Cass Haley was there singing with Trevor Hall. And like, and from then on, we just have been following him, and we go to see him every time he comes to Cleveland, and then we go follow him in other states and cities. But I just find his music is I love it. It's really inspirational. There's not a lot of there are a lot of like really positive messages that he does yoga, and he studies a lot of the same stuff, so it just falls in line with what we're talking about and teaching.
Messages in his songs, if you haven't listen much to Trevor Hall, are like, put down what you are carrying. I'm trying to think of some others. All in due time.
I was hiding in the lime tree.
Yeah, that one not as great.
Song.
It is a beautiful song. It is a beautiful song. But
find your center.
Yeah. Like.
All right, I have to give him a listen. I think you already answered on 22. What is the best yoga music? The worst? Is there any country artist you would play during yoga? Would you ever play Freebird?
I will find a variation of Freebird for you, Dave.
Yeah, I would never say never. I mean, if we do hip hop yoga and people do goat yoga or whatever else, I have used country artists. Actually, when Miles Ketterer was in the hospital, I asked Susie if there was any music that he particularly enjoyed, and a lot of what Miles liked was worship music, but he liked Zac Brown Band, and there's a couple, again, great message, Fear is a Liar, and then one called Remedy that I was playing while Miles was around. But yeah, I never really pay attention to what the genre is if the message is cool.
James laughs at me when I say I don't like country. The Black Crowes are another one of my favorite bands, but
yeah,
they're like a southern jam band.
Yeah, you know, I think people sometimes have a different idea of the constraints of country.
Well, let's face it though, country 20, 30 years ago was a little different than country now.
Indeed, it was better 20, 30 years ago, but that's another story for another podcast.
Right. I was going to say, you could still like the music, but it just doesn't fit in a yoga routine, no session. I'm going to keep using that. So. All right. So that unless there's a,
let me digress for a moment. For all of you guys,
I was waiting for the first digression.
So our hip hop classes that we do as it's a novelty class. We do it around the holidays. We're doing it both in Strongsville and Brecksville for Thanksgiving. And
yeah, is James going to be in two places at once?
No, I'm doing it in Brecksville.
Are you the hip or the hot? Skippity Scott.
I think my playlist is probably going to be a little different than his. I think that we should do 80s yoga or 90s yoga and mix it up, but James doesn't like to digress. So for all of you who've made it this far, and I don't think James will, say to him sometimes, like, hey, when are you going to do an 80s class or whatever kind of music you like?
I'm not sure.
In the yellow.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
No?
I don't mind the hip-hop as a novelty class, so I don't know why I would mind the other ones, but I know it raises my heckles a little bit when I see a yoga teacher online talking about what the playlist is going to be that night. It's going to be Britney Spears or something. And I don't know why, because I choose a playlist too, but...
But it's... I'm talking about for the special classes.
Oh, for the special novelty.
Yeah. So,
yeah. The question is, where will DJ Vince be with...
What do you think?
He's going to be with his boyfriend. So who's going to help you?
Well, James thought that maybe Susie would like to help me, but Susie is teaching in Strongsville right before the hip-hop class.
Also, as much as I love Susie and her skill set, she's no Vince in the DJ booth.
No, she is no Vince. I mean, nobody is no Vince in any...
No, we need like an extrovert weirdo. Sorry, Vince. A hairy one that will wear jorts.
Is Jeff busy?
Yeah, he is busy. He won't wear jorts.
Oh, well then, forget it. I don't know. Should I have an audition for...
Somebody who's available on Thanksgiving weekend.
Vince Ketter, can you mentor someone to be like you?
Quickly.
Okay.
It'll be fun, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
All right. You guys done digressing?
Have you ever gone to that class, that hip-hop?
No, I have not. So I should try it sometime. So the next two are in blue, which means I thought them up in between the last update and the first one. And
I mean, there's no color key on here or anything. Do you think I'm just supposed to figure this out on my own?
See, if you go back to the first page, Rev 2 is in green. See, in the top right? So the green is Rev 2, the blue is Rev 1, and the black is the original.
By default.
So I always have a means to my madness.
Just,
so,
you do.
And we're
going to
get deep here for a second. Kind of deep and then really shallow, right? Okay.
We can do that.
At the beginning of class, when you suggest people set an intention at the beginning of class, what do people usually come up with other than I intend to get through this class without passing gas, which is my default intention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming up blank. It's like, I don't want to fart. You know, but, and then I try to think of something else and what am I supposed to, world peace or, something.
Right.
So
I will actually say to people sometime, if you don't have an intention and you want to be an empty vessel, that's cool too. Because sometimes it does feel pressury, like, oh shit, I don't have an intention. My teacher used to say, if you want to set an intention, something to put your energy or effort towards. So that sort of rings decently for me, where I think of somebody, a friend having surgery that day or something, and I think, let that keep me going, you know, just something to sort of send good vibes and energy towards. But yeah, there's times I don't think you should feel pressured to set an intention. So,
I guess there's all sorts of, or it could be anything, right? But I intend to focus on my breath, or I intend to do this, or I intend to thinking of a person who needs
an intention,
wide open.
A goal, a wish, a prayer, or
if you're observing. Really stressed out and you need space or patience. We'll just say patience, and you say to yourself, like, my intention today is patience, and you really let patience be your priority. And so maybe you catch yourself when you're losing your balance or something and getting mad at yourself, and you're like, okay, my intention today is patience. And you kind of step back and, and take a breath and handle it a little differently. If I like the empty vessel, like maybe your intention, and you don't have to set one,
I usually don't.
But it could be just to stay present. you know. It doesn't have to be something life-changing, because we don't all need life-changing intentions every day. But sometimes we do.
Yeah, and especially if you practice a lot of yoga. I mean, that's a lot of, you know, mind-blowing intentions you're trying to have, and that's just not that practical.
Well, the default one, not pass gas or pass out, you know, those are practical intentions,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So, okay.
Keep breathing.
Well, yeah, then you set up the next question. When you guys say breathe into your left side or breathe into your back or wherever part of the body, what do you really mean? You know, I can't. My breath goes in and out of my lungs, and that's where it comes in and out of.
And so, it's funny for a person that thinks, you know, normally like that, it is. And sometimes we hear teachers say things, and we're like, come on, I can't breathe into my big toe. But I think of it like energy flows where intention goes. So not necessarily physical breath, but energy, openness.
Awareness.
Yeah.
And it's also a way for an instructor to...
confuse you.
Tell you, like, what... Yeah, confuse you, but also to, like... you know, a part of your body that may be engaged or stretching or bending, like, are you fighting it? You know, you bring your awareness to that part of your body. Are you being patient with that part of your body? Are you tensing? Are you know, like, what is actually going on there? And sometimes saying send your breath or breathe from there might allow you to relax into it a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I get the figurativeness of it and what the intention is, but I'm an engineer who's analytical and literal. And so when somebody says do that, my first instinct is it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I can't do that.
You're married to a PT. Yeah. You're like, Carrie, can we breathe into our toes?
But she's more you know spiritual like that. She has no problem with that. I get hung up with the literalness of it. But I'm learning to get beyond
that. Dave raised his hand in child's, but like, what?
Joyce, I can't get the breath into my big toe.
It's not working.
Interesting. I'll work on that. So
that can be your intention next class.
Yes, I'm learning a lot. This will be another life-changing podcast. I'm learning so much.
I've gotten dressed and undressed at least 4 times in the brief time we've been chatting.
Okay, so 25. What is the most difficult yoga pose in general, or for each of you?
And I'm thinking of something like scorpion. Is that the one where you're in handstand and you're
like forearm stand, and then you loop your legs back? Certainly, that would be difficult.
Can you demonstrate? I don't know what you're talking about. Can you do it here? No,
I cannot, and that will help me to answer the question for me specifically. Back bends of any kind, and that certainly involves a back bend while balancing, are difficult for me because of my anatomy. I'm very round shouldered and forward facing because I've been this big since kindergarten. So all the boys were Joyce's size.
Well, Joyce is doing something.
So you'd be on your forearms and bring your toes to your head and touch your toes to
She's
your
doing
head.
A handstand and, yeah, okay.
So
what's it called, scorpion?
Picturing a scorpion's tail, if you will.
Yes, that sort of curved back.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah. But that's actually not as hard for some like hypermobile body types. For me, anything back bendy is a real anatomical shift. I remember being a little Catholic schoolgirl, well, a big Catholic schoolgirl, and my mom being behind me in the line going up to communion and pulling my shoulders away because I was always aping myself.
Oh.
Because the third grade teacher was shorter than me.
Yeah. Hmm.
So.
And then you ended up being carrying a lot of things, carrying some weight.
Put down what you were carrying.
Yes. Which probably didn't help.
Right. Yeah. There's that whole covering, you know, shrouding yourself.
Yeah. So for me, you know, my legs are very stiff and, you know, like camel or hero. I cannot go back. My leg, you know, and yesterday in Becky's class, we were doing, was it fire log or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
My legs don't go like that.
Right.
I just bail out.
For a hip opener. Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't do it. So, but, all right. Why do we have to hold pigeon for so damn long?
You've got a good answer to this one.
Because connective tissue, which is what yin targets, and that's kind of a yin pose, pigeon, that long-held kind of thing, respond better to like long, steady pressure than to some quick stretch.
Do you guys time it on your watch, or you just have a feel for, okay, it's long enough? So
that one,
I don't time it on a watch.
No,
I probably should, but I don't wear a watch, and it would require me getting up. But yeah, that connective tissue and fascia and ligaments and things, like a steady load.
I'm getting better at it, more comfortable with it. Yeah. But part of the thing, too, is my monkey mind starts wandering.
I was just going to mention that, because that can go back to Joyce saying in Pigeon, take your breath down to your left big toe. And it might just get your mind off of this awkward position that you're in and let other things relax. We do tend to focus. I mean, if you examine things in Pigeon, you'll probably find you might be clenching your teeth. You might be shrugging your shoulder. You know, people are doing all sorts of things to stay in Pigeon. And right. It's like my teacher used to say, don't try so hard. Try easy. Like somebody threw you down there, and see if you can relax.
And your hips are the biggest muscle group in your body.
And they don't lie.
They don't lie, and they, it's more time than effort that you need to spend with them, and they're always at the end of class because, although I shouldn't say that, because Child's Pose is a hip opener.
Mm-hmm.
Warrior One on one side is a hip opener, slightly, you know, Tree Pose. Like, we do a ton of hip openers throughout class. But we don't
say it's time for a hip opener.
Pigeon is a little less comfortable than some of those other ones,
for
especially
sure.
My left knee, which is very tight. I don't go down as far as on my left and on my right.
Yeah. So. And interestingly, so my right knee gives me trouble like that. And so that traditional half pigeon, I would much rather take fire log pose.
Yuck.
But an important thing to remember about that with a knee problem, and I just am speaking to myself about this, is you want to make sure that outward rotation is happening in the hip and not in the knee.
Mm.
And that can be a danger with that forward-facing half pigeon with your body's weight behind it. A lot of people are trying to get their leg into position and wrenching the knee a little bit and then putting weight on top of it, which is not what you want.
Mm. Okay. Well, I have to say, last night in Susie's class, she did something I thought was a stroke of brilliance. Near the end of class, we did pigeon, and that's when she came around and put the cold towels on her neck. And I'm like, I'll stay here a little longer now. That's awesome.
Good job, Suze. That is a great idea.
Yeah, a little incentive
to stay. Yeah.
It's like, I'll sink in and enjoy the...
Wait a minute. I think you had... You've had very good towel experiences this week.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have.
Did he get extra towels from you, Joyce?
Well, there was a short class. Was it Tuesday morning?
It was a small class.
And I had towels up and down my whole body. It was awesome. It cooled me off.
So, extras. Yes.
And I thought I was special until Joyce said everybody got extra towels.
They didn't get them on their arms. Dave got it on his forehead, his feet, and his arms.
Well, because,
he was like this.
I gave you a thumbs up, yeah.
Yeah, more.
Yeah, there's a towel question coming up later. I don't know if you saw it. All right, so more on to, transitions now. What pose transitions should you never call? Like the one I thought, waterfall to warrior two. I mean, there was a couple classes, I won't name names, that the awkward, and it wasn't any of you guys. I thought it was an awkward transition. But so what are the smooth ones, and then there's awkward ones. So what is the, I think... What is the next question? What is the most awkward transition you have called, and did you regret it moments later because everyone in the class let out an audible sigh? So,
those are two great questions, so we can give them each their due.
Okay.
Sometimes a new teacher in particular might try and be creative or do something just different to not have the same old routine.
Mm-hmm.
But... So some things are just awkward. If you have to move a lot of body parts to get there, that's going to take you out of your breath. That can be obviously contraindicated. And that's why yoga teachers just always have to really pay attention to their yoga practice and remembering how things feel in their body, even if we don't practice with you. To always feed the practice. The other thing is that there are some things, like I'm imagining one time I was traveling and I went to a class, and again, I don't have this capability because of my anatomy, but we were instructed from balancing half moon right into a wheel. And to me, whether I could do that or not, that's something that with weight behind it, maybe shouldn't have been done on the hip joint. Like your
half
hip
moon
was
standing
closed
wheels.
And facing that way, and then you just open the whole thing up. And so now all my weight for a period of time, I'm leaving the mic, is on that down leg, and you're moving that, and that just to me right away, I was like, oh, hell no. Which doesn't mean people can't do it, but you know, certain things you have to be careful of where weight bearing is, and is there something strong enough under it? You know, part of the reason, like even in warriors, that we talk about having the ankle up under the knee isn't for when you're standing there in your warrior two, but when you go to move out of it, right? And you're going to maybe now put weight on that front knee is where you need the support. So I'm probably traveling further down the path than you intended, but what do you think?
I don't recall like any like physical bad transition, and not saying I've never done it, but I just remember right after James and I finished teacher training, we went to a class and it was an experienced teacher, and she literally started us in half pigeon, and we somehow went from there to standing splits.
Oh.
And it was like, yeah. And so I always keep that in mind. And but what I have regretted or like have learned from is just talking too much and like, now do this and now do this and now do this. And look, ta-da, you're back in down dog, where I could have just said, we'll meet in down dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, but yeah. And the reaction of the class is, I hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's talking about the sigh, but you do hear a little tittering or people, you know. I think the important thing to remember is, can you get there supported by breath?
Right.
Which tends to be just sort of one thing at a time, or you know, if you're encumbered or have to hold your breath or whatever, that's not a great transition.
Have you ever noticed in class when the class stopped breathing? Have you ever sensed that?
Mm-hmm.
And really. Sometimes it happens a lot in balancing because sometimes I feel like we focus so hard, then if we're sort of struggling with balance and we get it, we just freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Clench
the teeth and freeze and hold the breath.
Yeah, and you can feel that as a teacher. Like it's like somebody let the air out of the room, literally.
Or if you come down from a balancing pose and get into a forward fold, you hear everybody let their breath out. It's like, there we were all holding it.
Yeah, and so like if I call a transition and I don't hear breath, or even if it is like we'll meet in down dog, and I hear a lot of like, maybe it's
chaos.
Not here, but you feel a lot of thinking, and you know, it's like, yeah, you know what, I need to rethink that. That whole thing.
Yeah, it didn't go smoothly.
Right.
Has anybody ever said something like, hell no, or easy for you to say, or right? Because I'm thinking
maybe
it.
Not
almost
loud,
a couple times I almost said it.
For sure in my class, people will say that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tom Love will just be like, no, hell no. not going to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is that okay to say stuff like that? I mean, you don't want to interrupt anybody.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do
it
too much. But
you'd read the room.
Yeah.
There's some classes you just know you shouldn't say anything out, but there's other classes that it has become, you know, if you start making fun of yourself for skipping a side and then, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next question, which dovetailed with that nicely, is a transition that I still do. So I'm not saying it's a poor transition, but the way you worded the question made me laugh. And it was from lying on the back, or maybe in a hug or a happy baby, and rolling right up into boat pose. And it works well, but it wasn't a sigh that was let out.
It was your biggest fear.
So, and it was a grown man, unfortunately, there with his wife. I mean, I'm sure it happens more than that, but this one was not silent but deadly. It was not very deadly, but very loud. And so picture yourself rolling up from the floor into a boat pose and not sighing from the mouth.
Was there somebody in front of him?
It's so funny too, Dave, because I don't know if you've ever been in a class when there's been an audible.
No, I have not.
Well, and we just keep right on going, and people kind of start to look around like, is anybody going to laugh? Is anybody going to say anything? And we just keep plowing right
through. And I'm going to try to own it. And it was me. It was me. That burrito last night coming out.
Oh, man. Your family will be very proud.
Oh, no. No, they wouldn't. Okay. So, was that it on the transition? So
we'll transition
to, and I know the answer to this one and why we don't. So would a class with no balanced postures be popular? And I think, because I'm terrible at them, right? I'm getting better over time. And that's why I like my corner so much. The pole on one side, the wall on the other. I can, you know, use it to help me.
Use it less, yeah.
Yeah, I try to use it less. And I think that's, you know, Carrie Chandler, you shouldn't, you know, if you know you got that crutch there, you're not going to get any better. So I try not to use it as much. And I know they're, you know, I'll get better over time, but sometimes it's like they just suck,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It might not be super popular because if you have people in the class that are great at balance, they're going to miss it. But I personally don't have any problem with a class that is a little off kilter, a class that we never get down on the floor maybe, or a class that we never get up off the floor.
Yeah. I've had classes with a lot less balance than usual, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it just shakes things up for you.
Yeah, or sometimes you kind of get on a roll with what you're doing, and you're like, oh my gosh.
There's no time.
Yeah, there's no time. Oops. But you
That are, never happens to me. I don't even know what you mean.
Really? You are balancing even when you have both feet on the floor. You know, like you are, even if you're not in airplane, you know, like there is, you're finding balance in your body. But to call a class the non-balancing power yoga class, I don't know. It might be fun, but it's funny that you asked that. It's like today, although who knew this was going to end up like this, but like I took Susie's class yesterday as well. And I was just in a mood yesterday and I was like, oh, we haven't gotten to balancing yet. I don't want to do balancing. And then Susie's her delivery is just so like, you know, it's like, yeah, of course I can do balancing because Susie's telling me I can, you know? Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to like grit my teeth through it. I did not feel like doing balancing last night. And then I taught after her and I did a ton of balancing.
So there was
balancing in the floor.
Yeah, Susie's talented for sure. If you haven't been to a Susie Ketterer class, come on down.
And the balances usually show up in the second half of class, right? Although occasionally they show up a little earlier.
And it freaks people out for sure. I started with balances yesterday and people were like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Or even just starting at the back of the mat instead of the front of the mat. People are like, I can't do a tree back here.
It doesn't work this way, yeah.
Well, I'm totally amazed when people can do it and hold so steady. I mean, maybe in my younger days I could do better, but as I get older it's harder. Mm-hmm. But some of these people can just, you know, they rock steady and they don't falter. It's just amazing what you can do.
I bet you that that's not 100% of the time. You know, like sometimes you just have days where everything works. And then come to the mat the next day. It's like you've never done it before.
There are so many tricks to improve balance, too, that people don't think of that we don't often have time to talk about. But, like, let's just say you're in tree pose and you struggle. Try to really move in tree. It'll improve
wiggle?
Your balance.
What do you mean?
Wiggle your toes on the standing leg. Huh. Soften your knee on the standing leg. Wave your arms a little bit.
It makes
you kind of engage your core more instead or use your drishti more. It's like since you're an engineer, think of, you know, buildings that they make earthquake proof by being able to sway rather than being a statue. It's the same thing. You're in much less danger if you've got control of your movement.
I'll have to try that. Good tip.
Soften up, buttercup, is what I sometimes will say.
So I guess this is true of everything. You know, my balance postures are much better on my left than the right. No one's equally balanced, right? You guys have a favorite side? Or?
Well, like you, my balance is better on the left. So my question for you is, are you more flexible on the right?
I don't know. I think so, because my left knee is my stiff knee.
So let's say you're extending or something. And to me, that says your sides are a perfect complement to each other because stability... You're balancing left side, and flexibility, maybe better on your right side, equal mobility. You know, you got to have both. You can't be just flexy, rubber bandy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just be Mr. Balance.
Mr. Muscle.
Mr. Balance, man.
I'm the same too. My left side, I can stand all day on most of the time. And the right side, I have to really work at. But my left side is definitely stronger than my right. I know that. And so I try to get a little deeper in my left side and pigeons and stuff like that. But yeah, I just feel like it's whatever side we favor is one's always going to be easier for most people, unless they're ambidextrous or, you know. But then there are days where my right side is spot on and my left side is, you know, a little off. So I just kind of have to deal with whatever happens.
Well, Mary Beth gave a good tip for, you know, physically, you know, like maybe move a little to maintain your balance, which is interesting, and I'll give that a try. But I think the other half of it is mentally, oh, I'm going to fall, I better hold on. You know, and it's like, wait a second, you know, get your mind out of it. Mm-hmm. I try, like, that's why I put that nightlight back in the front wall. I stare at that light, and I use that as my focal point, and try not to let my mind...
He came out, it wasn't my class, he came out before class, and he was like, where is that nightlight? That's on the far wall, kind of by the
He needs a nightlight for Shavasana?
I do. And no, I not like, for Shavasana.
I was like, I didn't even know it was gone. And so I told him to check the bathroom, and he took one out of the bathroom and plugged it back in.
It's like the Blues Brothers, my digression. Mm-hmm. Can you see the light? What light? Can you see the light? So I see the light now. That's my, so mentally I try to focus on that and maintain my balance. And I think I'm going to fall. It's like, no, you're not going to fall. So,
and thinking of riding a bike, or I remember, you know, years ago when my parents were first starting to have knee and hip surgeries and stuff, a doctor saying, you know, as we get older, we start to look down at the floor in front of us so we don't fall. But that's actually a mistake because you're taking yourself there. So looking out toward the horizon sometimes in your carriage will actually help your balance, even though you feel like, well, I need to be looking at the floor in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, speaking of feet and bouncing, what should I do when I get foot cramps? Excuse me, foot cramps. Is it common to get cramps during yoga?
Drink water.
It's common to get foot cramps if you wore high heels that day.
No, my feet, sometimes in child's pose, my feet cramp up.
No, really, Dave. With your new shorts, is that what happened? Because that's what happens.
Hey, guys, I'm serious. My feet cramp up and I ate it.
And no, it's common.
It could be dehydration.
Okay.
Carrie... Yes,
she asks, she wants me to drink more, and I try to, but...
I mean, yoga's great for your feet, and that's why they're cramping up. Like,
I'm drinking water right now as we speak.
I mean, when you think of all our feet do for us, and how many times do you get a foot massage, Joyce, RG foot massage, foot parlor?
But hey, you went without me.
I know. I cheated on you with my daughter-in-law, but I'll go back with you anytime. But they do, you know, your feet stay in the same position a lot during the day. I even find at night if I put these, I have these really fuzzy slippers I wear in the winter. And whatever position my foot is in those slippers, I often get crampy feet. So.
Well, I just have to tuck, you know, instead of laying them like in child's pose, I have to curl the toes under because the cramp gets painful, and so I got to alleviate it. So.
Oh, I get that on the top of my left foot all the time. Okay. Yeah,
and on feet, it's so funny because you can look at it happen. Like you look down at your foot, and it's like, am I having a stroke?
And
what's happening here?
You can't undo that.
No, it's really something.
Okay, so I'm not weird. All right, so let's talk. Here's another big word, symmetry. We're clapping out the syllables. Let's talk about symmetry, bilateral symmetry in particular. We seem to do the same poses on the left and right side. Why? For balance? Is there a yoga routine? Wait, that's cheerleading in parentheses. A yoga program that is not symmetrical, would people freak out? And this is what I think is the latest question that popped into my head just last week. I can understand you balance things out, and it feels right and natural to do that. But what would a root program be that you just never do the same on both sides? Is there such a thing?
I don't think so.
It would be probably bothersome to most of us, right? But having said that, I think you could consider any class. Once you have a yoga practice and you've informed your intuition about your body, you can make changes in your body by saying, I'm going to do this more on the left or longer on the left or different on the left than I am on the right because X, because I had this injury I'm recovering from, because my left knee is stiff or something. So that's the magic of it is, you always have that option, not only the option, but you should customize your practice to yourself. And then
I think Dave just wants a class where he knows he's not going to have to balance on the bad side.
Yeah.
You don't do the same thing on both sides like we always do. You just purposely do a total asymmetric class.
But
I wonder what
that
would be like.
Just lift dumbbells on your right side?
No, you know, you can still do things on right and left, but you don't do the same things. You don't do the same repeated pattern. Because we always, once we go through a series of motions on one side, we always go on a series of motions on this side. I'm saying, okay, go do the routine on one side, and then on the left side, do something.
Dave. Yes. That's really interesting.
Yes.
You know, like a half pigeon, traditional half pigeon on one side, but then a lizard lunge on the other.
Yeah, something like that.
Kind of hip opener.
Or the flow, you know, from Warrior 1 to Warrior 2.
The flow, check my flow.
Yeah, there's different ways to like get into your hamstrings. So you could do this way on the right and this way on the left, although they are a little different.
I challenge you
to do a total non-symmetric routine.
I usually say when I miss a side or miss something on a side that we'll have to call everybody Eileen on the way out.
Oh.
That was my old dad's joke.
I give everyone homework.
Yeah.
Like your homework is to go home and do half pigeon on their
to balance out. So
gentleman's chair on the left.
All right, well, try it something in the right circumstances, right? Yeah. I don't want anybody to get mad at you, but I wonder what that would be like. So
me
it'd be chaos, and you'd need to go to therapy after, Dave. The little that I know of you, I know this now.
That's why I'll surprise you. When people got me figured out, I throw them a curveball. So, all right. So this next series of questions, I'm sure you guys got plenty of stories here, but so we'll start with the first one of this type. So again, the flow. We're in the class now, right? Because everything before was getting ready for class and so on. So has anyone passed out in class? So in parentheses, I'm explaining. Last winter, I had those crystals in your ear that make you real dizzy.
Yeah.
And so when I laid on my back, I started getting violently dizzy. Mm-hmm. And so I had to lurch forward. I did this in bed once, and I smacked into Carrie's. He said, "What the hell are you doing?" It's like, the world is coming to an end. And I had to get out of it. I violently. So I did this, and I'm in my corner. So I don't think anybody's seen me. So I didn't pass
Dave
out.
Dave was just in his corner bashing his forehead against the pole.
Yeah. Because,
a toddler having a tantrum.
So I then ended up getting out of that, thankfully.
Yeah.
But so anyway, back to others. Has anyone passed out in your classes?
No.
I've never had anyone pass out, but people do, especially as we get older, start to talk about vertigo and things like that that they're finding with different things. And that's why, again, having a practice where you recognize in yourself, there are times you should never do forward folds or lift up quickly from a fold. You got to know your bod.
Yeah. I feel like if I talk, I'm going to answer the next question. So
we'll go on to the next question. Has anyone thrown up in class?
Not in class.
We're thinking of the same person, probably. Somebody has had to leave class a time or two and vomit.
Oh, see, I don't know. So we had one. This guy, and this was definitely pre-COVID and pre that, but or like it probably was in the first few years of us being open. He practiced pretty regularly, but he brought his daughter, who was, I thought she was maybe in college, and it turns out that she was in high school and had winter formal the night before and imbibed with her friends.
Who goes to yoga with their dad the morning after winter formal?
I think
formal?
He made her because she got in trouble for drinking.
Oh, well, then he should be barfed on.
He
sorry.
Threw her right into a hot pot. James is like 75-minute hot power.
That was cruel, Dad.
She left within a half hour of class, and I was in the class, so I went out to check on her, realizing she wasn't coming back in, and she was like as white as a ghost, sitting on the bench in the lobby, and she's like, oh, I just don't feel well. She's like, nothing's wrong, you know, and whatever. And then at the end of class, after class, her dad was like, yeah, she got drunk last night, so I thought yoga would be good for her. And it turned out she got up and threw up. And that's my throwing up story. What is yours?
I don't have a throwing up story, but there's it usually does involve alcohol, you know.
Mm-hmm.
On a previous day, and then sometimes somebody just has to come out and barf.
Yeah.
So never in class.
I've never.
No, thank God, not so far.
Good.
God willing, it'll continue that way.
Yeah, I haven't written it down, so this is a bonus. Has anybody bolted out the back door to do whatever they needed to do?
No,
I thought
yet.
About that a couple times.
You know, our son ran the New York City Marathon over the weekend, and I was looking at some other posts from people that ultra runners and marathon runners, and it's so different than the way my mind works to push yourself to the point of vomiting and then continuing on. I feel like that's being unkind to your body, but people do it and do it, you know, proudly and with glee. So I'm not saying it's wrong, but.
Okay. I think we've talked about this plenty of times here and there, but has anyone passed gas in class? Was it an SDB or was it audible? And you've already told one story. Are there other stories?
Oh, so audible.
It's happened. It happened the other day. I don't know. Yes, I'm sure that there's SBDs all the time.
Yeah, we just don't have to always know about them, but
or announce it. You know,
as soon as I asked that question, if you were Carrie, how old are you, David?
Oh,
you
know, I love
15,
it. Exactly.
12.
Guy yeah. Everybody, yeah. Yeah, guys are seventh grade boys when it comes to farts and
when
humor.
When James started yoga with me, he could not wait until it happened, and then it happened, and he couldn't wait to talk about it. He didn't know why everybody didn't laugh, and like he almost like couldn't stop laughing, and you know.
That's why my yoga practice was actually great for me to kind of organize my eating because I can't eat for hours before yoga. Just the thought of chaturanga-ing makes me want to barf myself, you know, within hours of eating. So I know a lot of people, you know, throw a quick dinner in their mouth or eat a quick banana before they come to yoga. I could never do that. My digestion and yoga don't necessarily go together.
Well, the awareness does.
Yeah.
All right. So has anyone cried in class?
All the time.
Only every day.
Yeah. Really?
Sure.
Really? Emotional release? I've heard stories of that kind of thing.
Yeah, a lot of times in hip openers, strangely.
Hmm.
Yeah, which is an emotional storage ground, especially for women, they say. Just the body language of closing yourself off, the heart and the hips, right, protectively. So when we are vulnerable and open things up. I mean, I think Joyce will tell you the first time she ever did pigeon,
it was just coming out.
She didn't even know why, what she was crying about.
Here.
So it's like, it was inadvertent or what, just subconsciously?
Yeah, and it was actually really, it was really relieving. And it was, but I was literally like kind of up in pigeon going, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't really even sad. It was just kind of
right.
Up.
So sad. Sometimes it involves thoughts, but very often you just find you're just like, I don't know, but it was somehow cathartic.
Yes.
See, I think I'd fight back because, you know, as a guy, you don't cry, right? You don't cry.
Yeah.
And I haven't. And you'll get, am I missing something? Should I?
It might happen. And I think that it's happened with men. In pigeon, especially when you're doing pigeon facing the floor, I see it quite often where people will completely hide their face. And I think sometimes that's just like comfort and they just kind of melt into pigeon. But then sometimes you see the back kind of go up and down a little bit, not in a breathing way.
Why
but
pigeon?
More in like
I'm
a
always thinking how long, much longer we got to do this damn thing.
Because your hips are the junk trunk of your emotions.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
They remember things.
And they don't lie.
They don't lie. Mm-hmm. And it is very, very cathartic. Actually, after that first time, when I cried, I was like, I had the expectation, like, this is going to be amazing. I'm going to just go cry and pigeon and it's going to feel awesome. And
different people feel differently about it, but it is a reminder of the concept of, you know, your tissues storing what's going on with you in life, you know? People feel one way or another about
that. Yeah.
But some people are very, very big believers in that the body remembers even trauma and stuff more so than just the mind. I don't know how I feel about it either, but there's some sort of rendering that goes on for sure.
What about other poses? Does that bring, or is it mainly?
It's mainly hip openers. I'm sure that people have cried just because they're going through something, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think the pose is relevant. But
yeah.
You can say it's daily or weekly?
It's a lot.
It's pretty often.
Yeah. There'll be somebody, or you'll just see a little tear in Shavasana or
afterwards.
Or the more we know people, We can see in their face that there's something just right on the verge there. Yeah. And conversely, you know, other poses can really make people feel so powerful and wonderful. So it just happens to be maybe hip openers and other things maybe induce tears, but the part of the magic of yoga is some of those other poses make people feel beautiful and strong and doing things they couldn't do or thought they couldn't do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, continuing on this line of questioning, has anyone fallen asleep and snored in class or like Shavasana?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I'm sure that people do it all the time because I know that I've caught myself.
Yeah, it's I too. Like if Shavasana were long enough, I'd probably be out cold myself. But there's usually sometimes more often it's a man if there is snoring. But and then I use the singing bowl as a symbol at the end of class. So I just love waking people up with that shit.
Ding! We have to get back to regular yoga nidra class. But remember, we used to have yoga nidra once a month, and
she would have you count. Well, or walk through something?
Yeah. But if there were any guy, like we almost wanted to put all the guys together because it was a guarantee. So yoga nidra is a meditation that's equivalent to like 3 hours of sleep. It's very, very relaxing. Mm.
It's like a lovely guided meditation shavasana that's just really extended.
Yeah. Mm. And guys.
Comfortable, supported.
I mean, you could almost bet on it 100% of the time that every guy in that room is going to fall asleep and snore. And then their wife or girlfriend gets so mad because it kind of ruins it for them. But then other people in the room are like, you know, they hear that snore as well. So we had to come up with, it's supposed to be part of it. Like, mm-hmm. like be in your own practice.
Right.
But
And I know I may not snore, but I remember being at one of those with Molly and whether she was having us count or I think she was guiding us through some experience. And I knew from where things left off until where I heard them again that I had to have been asleep.
Yeah.
Because I was like, wait, what? How, where?
What's the name of this?
Yoga Nidra.
N-I-D-R-A.
We'll do it again.
Nidra.
Yeah.
Okay.
She and I talked, like we had a pretty extensive conversation about this because she didn't want to do this, but we agreed to do this where she would say, if you snore, we're going to wiggle your toe. And like, it was my job to, and I was like, oh gosh. Dave's snoring. I got to go wiggle his toe. And I would wait, you know, and just a little bit. Cause a lot of times people will catch, they'll do that snore like
their own snore. Oh. Yeah.
But yeah, Shavasana is a tough pose because you are on the brink of sleep. Like it's known to be the toughest pose in yoga because you're still in your body and your mind, but you're completely aware. And that's just hard, you know? And so it blows my mind though, especially after like a 75 minute power class or almost after a 75 minute power class, like you could be so physically active and alive and then you
turn
come
on.
To Shavasana and you're just like, oh.
Collapse, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay, a couple more in this sequence. Has anyone gotten hurt in class, like a sprain, pulled muscle, or even a broken bone?
Do you have any?
I just remember in one class, somebody trying to do a handstand dislocated their shoulder fully and had to run out. And luckily, Angela Hess was in class, and she ran out and popped that sucker right back in. And all
was
well.
Both.
She's a nurse.
Both of the ones that I remember were dislocated shoulders. That woman that you're speaking of was doing a handstand, working on handstand right in front of where we used to have racks for bolsters on the walls. You could still see like the grommets in the wall, kind of almost directly ahead of where you practice. Mm. And she was afraid of falling into the bolster. And so when she started like trying to control her balance instead of going forward or letting herself go backwards, she just went down and kind of jammed her shoulder. And thank God, I had already called 911 because her shoulder was, it didn't look good, but she, Angela tried to put it back in and it wasn't responding the way that she thought it should. And then within a couple of minutes, Angela said something and the lady turned around and popped it back in, which was exactly what happened the first time that it was a very young girl, dislocated her shoulder and she was very, very thin. Like I was a little concerned about her, but it apparently she was like a marathon runner, and she just was one of, she had a body type that was just really thin. Mm-hmm. And she was, I was like, are you, you know, you're here with your friend is going to have to drive you home. Are you 18? And I think she was 17. I'm like, I'm going to call your parents. You know, she started sobbing because she was afraid of her dad. She didn't want her dad to get mad at her. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing happened. Her friend said something. She went like this, and it popped right back in. And she's like, oh, I'm fine now. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Had that ever happened to her before?
I don't think so.
Because some people seem to have stories where, yeah, their thing dislocates. And I'm like, wow, how interesting for you.
Like, there's a lady who has some pretty serious elbow issues that right now that she had only been practicing yoga for a couple of months. So I honestly don't think that it's from yoga, but yoga might have, because we're on our hands so much, and it's so easy to not have your weight distributed correctly through your wrists, elbows, and shoulders. Like, it might have irritated it, but in general, it's very rare that you see an injury.
Well, good thing you don't have any rails in class to grind on and fall off and pop out. Like
Dave
I did.
Would be right on that with his.
Yeah, but it is scaring me. You know, because this shoulder is still broke. There's a part missing in the glenoid, the socket, and so I'm very careful when I do. And now that you guys said people, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been guarding this side. You know, like a side plank on my left. I usually do supported because. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I've been starting to do unsupported, but I'm going to be. I don't want to be the next to go out again. So if you see me favoring that side, it's because of that.
And have you talked to them about what the limitations?
He's married to a physical therapist.
Yeah,
will be.
Yeah, not
on
anymore.
What's
yeah, yeah, no, I should
there
be okay.
Be
just
okay.
Be,
yeah, just how
just
you feel
be careful.
Then.
Yeah. So it's mainly healed, but when I stretch it out like this and go back like that. That's why sometimes in side angle pulls, I'll do this instead of this because going
like
that.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel great.
But there's no limitation. Chaturanga is fine, you know, all that.
Yeah.
I've
got a little thing. Actually, Carrie's seen, I've been to Dave's house a few times. I've got something going on in my left shoulder, and I've been doing, Carrie reminded me that testing it is not going to help anything.
Mm-hmm. if there's a message, that is it for people out there in the vast podcast verse.
Yeah.
If you feel you've got a problem going on in your shoulder or your knee or something, let's not try and test it.
Mm-hmm. By holding side plank for 10 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, ugh.
Yep, that's a good message. All right.
Thank you, Carrie.
Yes. Has anyone answered a cell phone call in class? I know I've walked out of class with my phone to answer a call.
Right,
but
usually people will say, hey, I'm waiting for a call from my daughter or from the doctor if I slip out. I do see people answering things on their watches now, which I don't love, but I don't think anybody's had a full-on conversation verbally.
I have.
Yeah.
You have, or you've witnessed it?
It happened once in my class. It was not too long before COVID came, and it was my Saturday morning class, and it was a decent sized class. It wasn't huge, and we were in balancing, and all of a sudden, like, everybody was looking right at me. Like, I'm like, well, I don't.
Oh, because you didn't even hear.
I don't even know what's going on. And then I look over, and somebody had not only answered their phone. They took their mat towel and put it over their head for some privacy.
Oh, because if you can't see me,
it's not happening.
It's not happening. You can't hear me.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I continued to teach because it wasn't appropriate. But
what are you going to do?
I'm either going to give my attention to everyone else and continue the practice or to that person. And I feel like it was, let's stay in this practice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think I would agree.
Some people were upset about it and talked to me afterward. And I brought it up with the person, and this person's son was young and driving the greatest distance he ever drove. And he was concerned and he took the call, and I understand that he probably should have stepped out.
Just stepped out, yeah. It reminded me of, I was at a wedding in a church, St. Albert the Great in North Royalton. It was a small wedding because the people getting married were like close to 60. It was not first marriage. So it was a small group. And at a quiet point, yes, somebody's cell phone rang. And yes, they answered it. And no, they didn't walk out. Yes, I was just stunned. Like, how can you have absolutely zero awareness? I mean, maybe if you're a brain surgeon, run out the back. I'm so sorry, run out the back with the phone. But this was just like...
Did the phone ring?
Like, yeah, because this was probably 10 years ago or something. So phones were still not as...
Do you guys advanced. Remember the first cell phones, like the ones in the box? And
oh, yeah. The box phone with a
the wire.
Winded cord that plugged into your... Yeah.
Well, the other thing that happens, you know, so I wear my Apple Watch and I, to keep track of my fitness on that, but I put it in, what's that called?
Do not disturb.
Theater mode, right?
Yeah.
So it won't light up when you move and it won't hear the sound. Mm-hmm. And I make sure I put my phone on do not disturb or off. So I have it in there, but I don't ever want it to be an interruption. So.
And I never have any problem with, I mean, I'm happy people come to yoga. Whatever distractions are going on, it doesn't bother me.
Your exercise ring is closed. Yeah. Have you heard that?
Yeah. There are people that I happen to be friendly with or know very well, and I know there's really nothing going on. They just go ahead and answer stuff. So for them, I just feel like they're only cheating themselves at that point, because if you can try and go without that for an hour, it's going to be to your own benefit. You're not upsetting me, but I wish you wouldn't unless
it
was necessary.
And hopefully that awareness becomes part of their practice. Like, can I live without reading this message or responding to it, or both?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are cases like my present case where my mom's in a situation where if my phone goes off, I will tap it just to see who it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then only this is the first time ever it was her, and I had to go. Yeah. I left the room just because I don't want to not get
it. Absolutely.
But if it, I just want to see who it is, and that's it. And then I silence it again.
Because if there's something pressing like that at home, You're not going to be fully present if you left your phone and your watch outside. So I don't think any of us have any problem with people.
I have seen people, like, I remember one person took a selfie in Pigeon. And so I came and did an assist, like, right then. And it was like, she jumped. You know, people have asked me to put a sign on the door, like, leave your cell phones in the lobby. You know,
and some studios do that, by the way.
And there's part of me that's like, yeah, that makes sense. But then there's part of me that's like, don't let that, how about you practice not letting that person's situation bother you? And maybe I'm just like you, I'm glad, like, come late, come bring all your stuff. If you need to bring your cell phone, whatever, get to your mat.
And I think that's the right answer, because there's things you're going to have to deal with. Somebody might smell bad. Somebody might be loud and annoying. Somebody might be a very vocal grunter or something. There are things you need to deal with that are a benefit to your practice.
You just took your shirt off again. I mean, not your shirt.
I have little sweat beads on my upper lip as well. By the way, your skin is lovely up close.
Oh, thanks.
Don't look at mine because I'm sweating.
These guys are a hoot to listen to.
But I know.
For those of you guys, I'm witnessing the dynamic between these two.
But since we're sharing a mic, we're like right up in each other's face.
I almost called you after you texted me just to sort of prep, and then I'm like, nope,
can't do it.
And regarding cell phones, undigressing, or whatever.
A digression from the digression.
Yes. I always think that, like, our parents didn't have cell phones, and we're just fine.
Well, my mom is known to say, when she had grandkids and now great-grandkids, like, I was in the basement doing laundry, and you kids were two floors up during your nap. So if something happened, I guess I didn't hear it.
Yeah, or you come home when the sun goes down.
Yeah, or how about when we turned 16 and they had to give us their car and just sit home and hope we got home at midnight, not only with our lives, but with their freaking car. We couldn't call and say we got to the party safely.
Well, this got me in really big trouble once. I used to say years ago, I think before we were married, you know, I went somewhere and Carrie said, you know, when we didn't have cell, call when you get there. It's like, why? I mean, if something happens to me, you'll see it on the news or something.
The
that's not
will call.
The right thing to say.
No.
No, no.
Oh, I used to say that to my mom. I'd say, Mom, the coroner will call if anything happens.
So, okay. Did you ever want to ask someone to leave? Now, this is the last one in this sequence. So, did you ever want to ask someone to leave class?
I can honestly answer that no. I will also be honest and say that there are times where I was like, you know, a behavior needs to be addressed. But then I always go back to, this person needs to be on their mat, and let them be on their mat and be grateful that they're here, because, you know, this is what stress and anxiety look like. And so I just always remember that. And it's not always easy, but I'm glad when, you know, that they're there. I do also, I have felt in the past that I need to manage some behavior. It's because it affects other students. And so as much as I may sort of address in like bigger lessons, I guess, in my words, I also am addressing like, let every, you know, stay in your own practice.
Yeah,
let
sort of a universal thing.
Yeah, let people be where they're at. Mm-hmm. And if that's a theoretical handstand, or if somebody is just a...
Speaking of cell phones.
Wow.
No, it was my computer.
Yeah,
ringing.
I was going to say it came on the computer.
I probably have a setting for that.
It's too bad that didn't happen just like 1 minute ago.
Right? But I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I agree. I've never truly wanted to ask someone to leave. There have been minor annoyances or whatever, but I was trying to think of a circumstance that would really, number one, I have like a zero anger situation. Like I just don't get angry easily. So to actually want to ask somebody to leave, I think they would have to really be literally abusing somebody else in the room.
Right.
I don't see any other reason that would trigger me to want to ask somebody to leave, no matter what they were doing. If they answered their cell phone, if they were complete obnoxious, whatever.
So what's the most disruptive type of behavior? People not doing what you're calling or
right.
making noises?
There's some people that you don't know why they pay to come to a yoga studio unless they just don't have a decent floor at home, because they do absolutely their own thing that doesn't look like anything the rest of the class is doing. And then they usually like to be in the front, so they are a distraction to other people.
But that, again, is a good tool to work with if you're on the mat and there's somebody, you know, in the middle of the room doing their own thing. That has nothing to do with you. And, you know, as a teacher, that's what I was talking about before. Like, you have to remind yourself, like, you're here to teach this class and this person needs yoga too, and it's not easy. Like it is.
No, and that's the thing about yoga is, if you're going to make such a controlled situation, then that's not the best yoga practice. I mean, if you have to have this colored blanket and these particular blocks in this particular spot and this particular teacher
and you have to be this stretchy and
I get it, because we all have those comfort zones, but the whole point of this practice is to try and let go of that perceived control and let things. Jane used to tell me that in her teacher training they would actually sort of come and try and knock you off balance or somehow you know. The idea is to, you know, all you can control is you, your behavior, your reaction. So, and it's hard because in most every other avenue of life, we do want to control those things. We want to do everything the way, you know, we want to do it and for it to look like we want it to look. And
there was one time that I felt really bad about a situation. And it was actually, I wasn't in your class, but I don't know if you remember this. It was a Saturday morning. It was years ago. Somebody left your class on a Saturday morning, and it was the middle of class. I was out in the lobby, and I'm like, "You okay?" And she said, "Yes, I'm fine." But somebody was being a little disruptive with some noises. And she's like, "My husband and I had a horrible fight last night. I was up all night crying, and, you know, we're working on things, but all I wanted to do was get to my mat, and I just couldn't handle that today. Like the disruption.
Quiet.
And
yeah.
I appreciated that, mm-hmm. and my heart broke for her because it's, you know, like I get it. You know, mm-hmm. I've had shitty days too where I just want to get to my mat, get to Pigeon and sob my eyes out, you know, and so that's where it, you know, there's just like fine lines that we walk all the time, I guess. But she came back. Like, it wasn't like she stopped practicing mm-hmm. because of that.
She probably recognized, too, that it was just like, well, this didn't work great today, but
right,
circumstances are what they are.
So I think you wore you down with this set of – we're only on, what, 40 of 50?
But I think they're really getting – I mean, I think as you come up with more questions, they're really getting more thought-provoking. Mm.
So we hope you come back for number 41 through whatever we get to, but it's
649.
Yeah. But I think we're going to wrap this one up. And thanks for joining us again, Dave.
Well, thanks for having me. I hope it's entertaining. I learned a lot listening to you guys. So.
Well, thank you. I learned a lot listening to
you. Yeah, we've had a good time. Anything else?
Nope.
All right, we're done.